The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Hey, it's the Knapsack Files. I'm Ken Knapsack. That is Owen Mugen.
Hello, hello, hello.
And this is Life, guys. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/the Knapsack Files. Over 180,000 titles to choose from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Owen, how's life?
Life is good. Life is good. It's been going for the past 48 years or so.
And you're happy with that, yeah?
No. The idea is to keep it going as long as I possibly can.
Now, you were kind of late to the show tonight. You were late to the recording tonight.
I was, and I hate that more than I hate cream spinach.
And that's pretty strong.
Cream spinach. Well, the thing is, folks, so Ken and I were to meet at 7.
Yeah.
And as I try to teach my boy, being punctual is really important. It defines you. It's one of people's defining characteristics.
Have you given him like the, if you're 5 minutes early, you're late type of speech, or just try to get there on time?
I tried to nuance it, you know, where it's like there's something called fashionably late, where, you know,
right,
where within, you know, 8 to 10 minutes, you know, invited to a cocktail thing, then that's fine.
That's socially acceptable.
Right. If you're meeting somebody for work,
yeah.
If you're meeting somebody for, you know, anything else, be on time.
Right.
Be 2 minutes early.
Yeah.
You know, always. And that's a rule.
I'm usually out in the car, checking my phone, waiting to get within like the 5 minute range because I'm there too early.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, I'm the, and we have cousins who I love dearly, the O'Malleys, and God bless him. We have something
sounds
we
like
call,
a sitcom.
Exactly. The O'Malleys. It's like O'Malley time.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, what time do you want to meet? 7. So, like, 9:30.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Right. That.
And
an entire generation, an entire family like
well,
that?
Well, and the younger generation, there's a handful of them moving out here now. And eventually it's going to be, you know, thick with O'Malleys. And they're good at it. But it became a sort of running joke in the family over time.
Wow. But look, I'm busting your balls, but I don't care. But I'm like you, too. Where it's like, and LA's a bad town for that.
Well, it is. And that's the thing. I feel like, you know, right after the, you know, whose pizza is better conversation, the traffic in LA is the most annoying, you know, hackneyed conversation. Except it's real.
Yeah.
And it happens all the time.
Yeah.
And it happened tonight. And it's like, yeah, I get myself out of here early, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, of course, there's just really kind of, there are two ways in,
mm-hmm.
you know, to your side of the mountain.
Yeah.
The 101 or the 5. And
You're
right. And but you know,
that's tough.
It is tough. Or like I want them to drill a hole, you know, right in the middle, under the Hollywood sign.
Subterranean. Yeah, cut through the if you could go through the Hollywood sign, life would be good.
Oh yeah, like even like some sort of we're going to be having our flying car soon, apparently.
Yeah,
so that'll work out.
Yeah.
But it was one of those deals where it was like, you know, I hop in there and I keep thinking to myself, you know, I've been here almost 12 years and I still keep getting fooled that you know, it's just going to be great. I'll hop in the car, it'll be perfect. I'll get a Ken's in no time,
Just take the street, you got off the 101.
And then it's just like it's, you know, it's just red light nightmare.
And it does something to you. But about, you know, there's like 5 stages of dealing with traffic. And it's like, we're going to be okay. I'm going to turn up the radio. Third, you're like pounding the steering wheel, screaming.
Right.
Second, you're crying.
Yeah.
One, you're like, whatever.
Yeah, right. Fine. Yeah, exactly. You know, and that was sort of the funny thing. Then we get on and eventually get off. And my driver he wasn't enjoying it much either.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd rather be behind the wheel, quite frankly, in a situation like this. But,
yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so.
Yeah.
But here I am, and here we are. Here we are, Ken.
Here we are, man. Yeah, this is life is going to be just a fun show. It might not even end up in the studio. We might go out and about.
I think that's an exciting part, you mm-hmm. know, is we have the technology.
Yeah, we have the power.
We do. And to be able to take it out and you know, I can bitch and moan about aspects mm-hmm. of this town.
Right.
But believe it or not, it's a hell of a walking town.
That's a great, because obviously, you know, if anyone heard Owen when he was interviewed on the Knapsack Files or Life Ranked, mm-hmm. we know you're a New Yorker.
Sure.
You know, it's in your heart. It's
right.
in your blood.
It is. It's
traffic there doesn't even matter because it's in your power of your feet. Right.
Exactly. You know, subway or feet or whatever, you know, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You're not dependent on the driving.
So I'm fascinated because when we started hanging out, we were going to get some drinks one night. You were like, we just walked out. Like, we'll go here, we'll walk to another place. And I was like, this is awesome.
Right.
Because I'm a walker. I almost get made fun of. I got made fun of when I was working at Collider back in the day. Hey, you guys want to take a walk about downtown Burbank? Go for a walk. Because I worked in a mall for 17 years.
Exactly.
So my meetings were like, I'll meet you at the Gap.
Right. Yeah. I'll meet you by Chess King.
Yeah. Chess King. We'll get a suit. We'll walk around.
Right. Yeah. Go to Spencer Gifts. Pick up, one of those.
A dirty limerick on a t-shirt.
Dirty limerick. I remember being a kid at King's Plaza, which was the big mall in Brooklyn, New York at the time.
Sounds kingly.
And yes, it was. And of course, there was a Chess King, mm-hmm, and there was, mm-hmm, but there was a Spencer Gifts, and there was that section where it was like, 16 and older only. And I think now 16, really?
Yeah.
You go to 16, but yeah, that was the dirty stuff.
It's the whole store though now.
Right.
God, Spencer, they're not a sponsor. If you want to sponsor us, we'll talk about your store.
I have nothing but positive memories of Spencer Gifts.
Yeah, but it's like a sexual awakening for a lot of 12-year-olds now. The entire store, it's like booby shot glasses right in the front window.
Exactly. I remember the old tip and strip pens, and posters of Heather Thomas.
Heather Thomas.
Fall Guy.
Yeah. Oh, Fall Guy. Yeah, you and I could do a show on Fall Guy.
We could do the alleyways of Fall Guy.
Yeah.
And as I often walk around
that brown truck.
The city. Absolutely. Yeah. But depending on your familiarity with Los Angeles, you walk down certain streets and you see these alleyways that go on for blocks and blocks and blocks. And they're like Rockford Files / Fall Guy alleyways. Everyone who ever starred like on the Love Boat has been like, chased down those alleys.
It's one of those. Well, and they're the best because you sometimes an alley can be as good as like another road. You can use it all the way.
Oh, yeah. No, it's true.
There's one that runs from near my place up to almost the Burbank Airport that I take sometimes.
That is great.
Boom, boom. But you love walking it's so freeing.
It is freeing, and it is sort of, it's one of those deals. I live not far from the Greek Theater, which is if you're familiar at all with LA folks, it's one of the great outdoor venues. It's the Hollywood Bowl is one, and a few miles away in Griffith Park is the Greek, and we live close enough to walk.
Right.
So it's cool. You go up to a show and you have fun, and you have a couple of roadies, and roll down that hill. Right. And then as soon as the show is over. Mm-hmm. Your night is not ruined by having to get into your car and sit in traffic because that's almost the end cap of every experience in Los Angeles.
Yes.
I got to get back in the car and what drunken maniac is going to,
possibly
kill me and my family and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Walking, for the most part, doesn't matter.
Walking. And that's why like Dodger games, the joke, Dodger fans leave in the seventh inning. I've never left early. I think maybe once by accident. I'm always to the end. I'm an old baseball guy. I get it. But there's good reason. To leave Dodger Stadium, it's like 3 hours of your life.
Exactly,
sometimes.
Exactly. And now it's like even if you go to Dodger Stadium, which I was there once.
Once.
And, it was when I first moved here. It was fun. Yeah. It was great. We had friends in the organization and met Tommy Lasorda, which was great. And,
nice.
But it's getting out of there. But like now if you go, if you can walk the few blocks and get into Uber range, you'll be okay.
You'd be good. Uber, Lyft, whatever you want to use out there has absolutely changed life.
It's made LA a much cooler place for me to live.
Yeah, because you don't struggle. You're out here for a reason. You got family out here. I get it. But New York's in your heart.
Well, right. And I don't want to be the sort of hackneyed, stereotypical New York guy. But one thing, getting my license when I did later, I was 36 when I moved out here. I got my license at 36.
For the first time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it wasn't a priority. I was not going to get a car on my 17th birthday. It wasn't going to happen.
Right,
right. I had no real incentive to
drive.
Got a
subway pass. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, look at my site. Thanks, Mom and Dad. I got a subway pass. It's great. My two older brothers.
Yeah.
We grew up in the same house, grew up in the same, in downtown Brooklyn. You can't get much more urban and city than that.
Yeah.
And they both, as soon as they turned, they got their licenses. I just didn't care.
You didn't care. You didn't need it.
Didn't need it.
Different life.
Different life. Totally different life.
Unless you're going to drive up to Poughkeepsie, you're not worried about it.
The only thing I do in Poughkeepsie is I pick my feet in Poughkeepsie, and that's all I do.
What? You pick your feet?
I pick my feet in Poughkeepsie. Mm-hmm. Sorry, French connection. Mm-hmm. I know you knew, but in case. I don't want to be obtuse.
Yeah.
Not too obtuse in the first
French
show.
Connection's not obtuse.
Exactly. But walking in LA is terrific because it's allowed me to connect to the city in a way that I wouldn't have before, in a city that I found to be a particularly tough download for me personally. Being able to walk around, you get to recognize neighborhoods and see people, and it makes it less alien.
It's like the difference between taking the I-40 and then popping up off the I-40 and taking on the old Route 66, you know?
Exactly.
Stopping in Seligman, Arizona and going to the guy there who cuts hair. He's like one of the guys who started the Save the Route 66 Foundation. Angel, as I believe his name. Look him up online. Yeah, and I've heard him speak about this, where it's like people, freeways are great, but you stop, you're a number. You go to McDonald's, you're a number,
right?
And with you, you're seeing your neighbor. You see,
because LA is a collection of outposts, you know, and you have to travel to get between them.
That's so true.
You know, and it's cool when you get to a place. Hey, this is a great neighborhood. Blah blah blah. Like I range pretty wide. You know, okay. I'll walk 8 miles in a night sometimes. You know, Like I've left Collider. You know, in Burbank, and I've walked home to Los Feliz. You know?
What?
Yeah, I've done that more than once.
You're crazy.
I did that actually the last...
On purpose.
On purpose.
You have a vehicle. Do you have a one-car family?
We are a one-car family now.
Okay.
We used to be a two-car family, but it's like, why are we paying for
this? Why are we doing it?
Right, why are we doing this?
Man, I should have bought that car.
Right, see, exactly.
Wow, I didn't know that, because I've seen your pictures on Instagram.
Yeah. I post a lot of them. Jackie said it should be called... you know, Ugly Los Angeles by Owen Mugen. And it's like, I don't intend it to be. It's just what the eye captures.
Ugly beauty.
That's what I think.
How about that?
Thank you, Ken. Jackie, do you hear that, pal?
Put a positive spin on it and maybe get a book deal.
Exactly.
Ugly beauty of Los Angeles. Because I've seen that. Okay, that makes perfect sense now. Now I should have known. I just don't assume. I wouldn't assume. And we're talking very localized here. And I know I've got some listeners in Australia and United Kingdom. Go to Google Maps. Look this up. Type in Burbank, California. Then type in Los Feliz. Right. That's not a hop, skip, and a jump.
It's like 8 or 10, depending on which route you take.
10, but 10 miles in the city. 8 miles in the city.
Right.
In the city. In New York. It's different because you got to cross freeways. And how do you do it?
So if I'm leaving the old Collider.
Yeah. Heart of Burbank.
And if I don't go to that awesome movie world, that cinema bookstore on
downtown San Fernando,
which I love. But by the time I leave, you know, if it's a Schmoes event.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just take that overpass. I feel like that SNL skit. I'll take a walk Olive.
Olive and Barham. Great 30 Rock joke. Yeah,
exactly.
Too.
But I'll cross Olive. I'll go to Victory, and then I'll start heading south toward Griffith Park. And Griffith Park, for those of you who don't know, it's the largest municipal park, the largest city park in the U.S. It is, just for reference, it's 10 times the size of Central Park.
Right.
And it's got everything in there. It's got bear and deer and
coyotes
and maniacs. And
There's been some, like, murder solved up there, you know?
Yeah. And that's my only thing. I'm not a small guy. I'm 6'2", with 220. And
an old job.
And ordinarily, I don't really fret much when I walk someplace. But
sure.
But there's a lot of homeless folks who are also not being cared for mentally.
Yeah.
And they don't care how big you are.
No.
And so that's the only thing I watch out for. But thank goodness I've never had a problem.
Now I'm worried.
Right. But the cool thing is you hit Griffith Park.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you may as well be in the deep woods.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. I usually have my headphones and
I mean, I'm not like, what are you crazy? Like, I'm actually like, that sounds good.
It is good. It's fun.
Like in high school, I used to have to walk home from my school.
Mm-hmm.
I think in retrospect, maybe at most a 30-minute walk.
Right. It's a good walk, though.
It's a good walk every day. It's why I graduated high school like 150 pounds.
Exactly.
But there was one time, I had a friend, Gavin, and he was the walker with me. We'd walk, and we lived near each other. And we went for a walk so long, like our parents were freaked out.
Right. Separately. How are these guys?
Because dusk was coming, and it was prior to cell phones. And it's like, why what are you doing? I'm like, once you start, you kind of can't stop sometimes.
And also, your town was ruled by vampires at the time. So
absolutely,
once
absolutely.
We were out after dark.
Yeah. It was 6:02 p.m. It was trouble.
What happened to trouble? Oh, you don't want to know.
Yeah. Do you solve any big life problems? You just take it in there when you're out there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You get through it all?
Like being like a walker in New York, one of the big things that was really awesome about it and helpful was, you know, you leave a high-pressure job.
Yeah.
Like, you know, producing television news in Midtown. And it was a 3.5-mile walk, and I did it every day home.
Which isn't,
And it's a decompression time. It's time to chill out, get yourself back into, you know, a certain bearing when you get home, you know.
You could have taken a subway, short ride.
I always took the subway to work, and it was about a 6-minute subway ride.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and which is why my reading fell off so much.
Yeah.
Like, no commute.
No commute.
But the walk home was great, and you'd walk through to what to me is you know, an amazing city. Yeah. And then by the time you're home, you know, whatever was bugging you during the day is gone.
It's gone.
And it's a similar thing out here.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to you a lot. I've listened to a lot of Knapsack Files.
Oh, you're going to listen to this show?
I'll listen to this show, yeah. And I'll probably get, you know, really hammered and listen to it over and over again.
Give some notes.
Stop, cry, you know.
Give some notes to us.
Exactly. But it's all about quality of life for me.
Yeah.
It certainly is not about, you know, expedient travel.
No, absolutely not. But it sounds like a good life control. I mean, walks again, or I live right by this walking path, and it's like,
yeah,
boom, you can get it there. But it's even then, sometimes I'll go off of it. And I have headphones in, earbuds, kids, whatever. Right. I have wires, sorry. And then I still feel like I'm just kind of connected more with what's going on.
Absolutely. You know, and was that Chandler?
Yeah, that's the Chandler walking path through all.
Which used to be your rail state, you know, rail line.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. You
know?
And again, walk to the end of it, you can see it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've done that. When you get close to Victory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now where the Toys R Us is.
And yep.
Yeah. We're talking like real locals.
Yeah. I'm going to rename the show. This is Burbag.
This is Burbag. But yeah, the walking is great. The walking is good for the mind, good for the heart, good for the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and also when you're watching your salt, it's good for the heart.
Yeah. So. When you're watching your sodium intake there,
exactly.
And the calories burn that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I need to do some more walks. That's the first thing. I recently lost my job. And
I'm sorry about that, pal.
Yeah, hey, you know, you go through it, I go through it, we all go through it, right?
It's the perils of the line of work.
Of the entertainment industry. Yeah. My first real time being jobless. But it's been good. But first thing I did, the first next morning, I was up early and took a long walk.
Right. And you could have gone the other way.
Yeah.
And just in either, you know, stayed under the covers.
Yeah,
or
stayed
whatever.
In bed, drank beer in the morning.
Right, exactly. But getting out it's helpful.
Yeah.
Because you do have, it can get very easy to get into a zone, into a negative zone when something big like that happens.
And you just gotta, you know, it's like when you go out of town too, if you take a little mini vacation or you just get away for the day, you get away from the grind, you get away from your normal routine, you just start... Oh, I can do that. Oh,
right.
That's the thing I can do.
Yeah. That's really important to remember.
Yeah.
You know, and it's easy to forget it when you think about all the responsibilities you have and all the things that you want to be doing that you're not doing because you're, you know, sitting in place because, you know, you don't have a job, whatever. But, yeah, exercise is sort of – my wife and I have always joked about this, you know, especially as we're, you know, packing on the years, is, you know, exercise in one form or another is – has to be part of our lives forever going forward.
Yeah.
You know, or forever is not going to be as long as it might be. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I just got to clear my head, make those big choices, big changes.
Yep.
Trying to get out of my comfort zone.
Well, that's a key thing too.
You know,
the older we get, the easier it is to be in your comfort zone. You know? And I remember saying to you on the Knapsack Files, where my old job at Fox News Channel years ago, the job I had before I moved here, like I stayed there a couple of years past my expiration date, and it was nothing against the place. It was just about me and the level of comfort that I let myself be in.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, it's weird because, you know, we're in the same decade of life there.
You can say it. You're a lot younger than me, Ken.
I'm just a couple high school graduations.
That's right.
Younger. But we're the same decade.
Right. Our first makeout songs were probably different.
Probably
different.
Yeah. Mine's probably really different because it was probably a lot later than it should have been. You know what I mean? But yeah, you know, it's like I find it's weird to think at this age that not that I'm starting over, because my mother did that too. She, early 40s, changed her career, was just a church secretary for a long time, and went back to school. And not that a church secretary is a bad thing,
but
her, it was like, hey, I want to do more. My kids are older, they're in high school. So she went back to college at like 41, 42, and totally redesigned what she was doing, you know? And I'm in that spot now too. I'm not redesigning what I'm doing completely, but I am. I gotta get out of those comfort zones.
Right. And the thing is, you know, you're not saying, you know, mom was just a church, not just an.
Yeah, yeah, no, no. She raised me and my sister. She's mostly a stay-at-home mom. Yeah.
Right, but the fact that she decided that a change was important for her personally is wonderful.
Yeah. Right. It's good.
It is.
And if I'm in that and you're in that too, I don't think you and I are ever going to leave the entertainment industry.
No, I don't want to.
you know, various things. Though the idea of opening up like a general store slash baseball card shop in like Montana is not a bad idea for me right now.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I'm always going to say, but I got to refine my focus and refine my confidence.
Well, that, you know what, there's no sort of kick in the backside like losing one's job in terms of, you know, self-worth and these sorts of things.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, absolutely.
But it's to be able to pivot and say, all right, it's not about me so much as it is about my circumstance.
Yeah.
You know, what was the stinking thinking, the old Stewart's? The old Stewart's.
That's just stinking thinking.
Right. But it's contagious.
Yeah.
You know, and it can go up like an old Halloween costume, you know, if you're not.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you can buy into, you know, if there's low morale around you, you're going to buy into that. You're going to spin off into that world.
Right. And God forbid. Or Zod forbid, or Zod. Or Krom forbid, or whatever you like.
Iron Man, whatever you pray to.
There's nothing worse than becoming that toxic thing. That schleprock that infects those around you.
Oh, there has been times recently that I'm like, oh, I think I might be the problem.
Right.
Which is means to me it's time to go.
Right.
But then, you know, then when it's not your choice, that's the thing. Then so even if you're like, I think I'm gonna get on LinkedIn and see what's out there, and then they're like, don't worry about coming in tomorrow. And you're like, oh.
No, wait a second. I was going to go for a dramatic exit here.
Yeah, you're taking that away. And it's a shot in confidence because, you just said, like, you just kind of touched on it. It's like you want to be in control of your own destiny.
Right.
And when someone else is and they exert that power, it's totally fine. I'm not bitter, but it's just like, oh, yeah, ooh, I didn't get to decide this fate.
Right, right.
And that's a shot to the system.
Sure, especially when you're reaching for things and wanting to trying to do different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be a pain in the tuchus.
But it's good, but I'm going to find it. I'm going to go for more walks.
Well, I tell you, man, never underestimate it.
Going to figure that out.
Right.
Where did you, I feel like I'm interviewing here, but you were doing this show together, but I want to talk about your pictures. I want to specifically your pictures.
Sure.
All over the place.
All over.
New York, Burbank, Silver Lake, Los Feliz, anywhere you
Wherever
got that eye. Have you ever taken like actual classes?
No.
No.
No, I just... It's
just Instagram good?
Like, you know, I like that square frame.
No, you got a good eye.
Yeah, and you know, listen, being in a visual medium for most of my life, you know, television, you look at certain things, and like Jackie, my wife, has a great eye, you know, and I always sort of pay attention to how she takes pictures. And I think I've got a decent eye, and I like to sort of go for, like, I've got friends who post and... there's one guy in particular, and he's like the king of symmetry, you know.
Yeah,
and he just like I
cinematographer eye,
right? And actually, I learned a lot from this guy Bao Nguyen, who was the director of the Saturday Night Live doc that I was a producer.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And just like watching him set up shots, you know, and
even just for like an interview,
for an interview, or like you know when we did you know. We do like this sort of fly through of Studio 8H at one point, and you know, and where the shot settles. It's just symmetrically, it's so beautiful, and I like that. And, and so, like, that's having an awareness and trying to, you know, take stock and saying, "Oh, I learned that from this guy, or I learned this from this woman," and you know, blah blah blah. So when I go out and I shoot, I just see something that catches my eye, you know, and I generally I'm in a mood of some kind, and you know,
well, that's because I know you as a pretty. Pretty nice, even-tempered. I know you got probably some...
Back
some,
off, Ken.
Irish temper in there. You know, you're such an easy conversation. That's why we're doing this. I've seen you around other people. But, yeah, some of your pictures, especially of, like, Burbank, there's a biting edge to them. The New Yorkers coming out.
I don't know.
I'm like, is Owen happy here? Does Owen, you know?
It's interesting. Yeah, it's a challenge out here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But the pictures that I take, it's funny. I don't go out of my way to take...
They're
so-called ugly pictures.
They're funny. They're entertaining to me. There's a snark to them. But they show kind of that side.
Right.
A beautiful downtown Burbank, but there's a mattress under the freeway.
Right. Exactly. Or a Porto San that is you know cut in half.
Like I used to park. You know, I had that fun job at Collider. Cool. Whatever. Parked on the street next to a homeless encampment.
Right.
You know,
and that's of which there are now. I mean, they've exploded, you know, exponentially, and that's the kind of stuff I don't take photos of, and not because of you know to be blind to the problem, but you don't want to be exploitative for, you know, for a simple picture.
Yeah,
you know?
Like
but man, it's everywhere. If I chose to, I could.
We have some regulars around these parts too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a camp right you know under the 101, not far from my house now, that is thick on both sides with tents, and that wasn't there 3 weeks ago.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it's.
I mean, I've seen that one in Orange County.
And it's right. Oh yeah, the one by the Santa Ana River.
By the river that they think they've started to clear out.
I think they've had a stay about that. They just.
Yeah. Right.
But
what do you do? I don't know. How do you deal with that?
And that's the big thing. And that's 18 other shows we could do. But the bottom line is that there's a problem and there's mm-hmm. something very wrong.
So you don't. You don't. And you're right. And there's a level of danger.
Right.
You know, not everyone is just down and out. But sometimes it's not just about being down and out. I used to deal with that at the Farmers Market. I was a security director there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, quite frankly, one of them at one point one night pulled out a 16-inch blade and killed a waiter. And it's like, and it was a guy I dealt with every day.
Right.
And you kind of treated him as like, come on, Hobo Joe, get on out of here.
Right.
And then one day he snapped. So it's tough. It's tough. So I get what you're saying. You don't want to document the struggles like that.
But, you know, for the fun stuff.
Oh, that's fun stuff.
I love walking through Griffith Park, you know, and there's always weird things to see there. No matter where you go, there's just strange things to take shots of.
What is the weirdest thing you know you've seen in Griffith Park that can be said in front of parents?
Let's see. I was walking home one night. I was working at Reels at the time.
Yes.
And when it was over on Olive and wherever it was. And I was heading back, and it was winter, so it got dark early.
Yeah.
And I was just getting to the golf course closer to my side of the park. And I was startled by a buck with a multi-point antler.
Like a 10-point buck?
I don't know how many it was, but it was more than I'd ever seen in person in front of me. And he towered over me. But the thing is, like, he didn't give a rat's tuckus about me. But he, all of a sudden, he was right there. He was right there. And he was powerful. And
for those listening, he's pointing like 2 feet to the wall.
I'm pointing to the Princess Leia picture.
Picture of Princess Leia.
Which is awesome, by
the way. It's an art piece by a gal named Nan Larson. Look her up online, guys.
That's great. It's a nice work, Nan. I like it a lot. And so that was strange. And then all of a sudden, his family was there with him.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was kind of an odd thing.
Oh, a family of bucks. Just a team.
Yep. There was the, I guess if we're not working blue, there was something else I saw that you ordinarily don't see
buck sex, that might be okay. But
it was something else. It was an unexpected, what you would call a marital aid, an unexpected marital aid of comic size in the middle of the road. Didn't know how it got there.
Just sitting there. A plug, one with batteries or one with a cord?
It was molded from perhaps someone not of this earth.
Just sitting there.
Right. But there's also, I mean, this thing about this town, there's so much great beauty here, too.
You know, I'm glad you say that because I think Los Angeles actually has a lot of beauty.
Oh, my God. It does.
The valley, all the hills, whatever, every part.
Like, before I moved here, people were like, oh, the valley, oh, the 818. You know, you don't end up in the 818. And I'm thinking, like, first of all, like, what are you talking about? Oh, area codes. Okay, I'm traumatized. I'm moving to Los Angeles. But you know what? I kind of prefer the valley in a lot of ways. My son goes to school on this side of the park. And, Martino's over on Magnolia and Victory. There's a great bakery. Yeah. You get tea cakes. There's a lot of great stuff. And there's film history everywhere you look.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot, but you got something in mind.
Well, it's like you'd be walking down the street, and again, aside from the Fall Guy alleyways, there's a street called Providencia, which for years I've been going past it. Providencia. Like, why does this ring a bell? And my late brother Thomas, it came back to me. He's a bigger Star Trek fan than I.
Right. Beer Trek fan.
Oh yeah, definitely. But he opened the door.
Gotcha.
But at 104 East Providencia, which the building still exists, was the fabricating shop where they made the original Enterprise model.
Oh really?
Yeah, and that's something cool I ran into just walking one day.
Yeah.
And once I made the connection, I walked in front of it and sort of sat there and this is cool.
Took a photo and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Also on the other side. Of, because I live between Los Feliz as a neighborhood, folks, between Silver Lake and Hollywood. And if you're looking at that classic view of the Hollywood sign, the one that, we all pretty much have a vision of that in our head.
You know what it looks like, yeah.
I live, like a mile to the right of that, at the foothills.
Right.
And everything from, Laurel and Hardy shorts to, the great films of the 70s, everything was shot there in between, you know. And so that's kind of cool. And someone who loves movies so much.
And you love history, too.
I love history.
Yeah, you had a history show for a long time.
Yep. The late, great The Angry History Show, which is actually, I'll plug a dead show. Why not?
Yeah, no, it's still there.
You can go
there.
Listen
it's
to the
great.
Old episodes at theangryhistoryshow.com, and they're fun.
Get your listens in. I love discovering that kind of history.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's fun. I, for a while, lived around the corner from the Brady Bunch house.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's over there in Studio City.
Right.
And, like, you know, and it's so sad because, like, an old lady lives there now.
Right.
And she probably...
She has no Alice.
Yeah, has no Alice. Right. Been there for years. And, like, some people broke into the house recently. And then people would take... the first time I stumbled, it was weird because I didn't know where it was exactly. And I was going for a walk.
Right.
That's what I do. And I passed this house and I'm like, that looks... Wait, oh, wow. And
that's
I looked
it
up and that's it. And so I even have some friends. My friend Sean and his friend Jeff would come in. They came in from out of town. Like, they big Brady Bunch fans and they wanted to go over there. I was like, yeah, let's do it. And I felt so weird. Like, all right, stop the car. Take the picture. Let's go. But there's, and there's little tiny histories like that. And, you know, I've been by the Manson murder house and that's
not far from me. What do you mean? The one on CeeLo Drive?
The other one on the hills.
Okay.
The one on the hills.
Oh, the one on the hills.
Yeah, Hollywood Hills.
Okay.
Morby off the Sunset.
Right, I've never been up to that one, but the one where Leno and Rosemary LaBianca were murdered next night is very close to my home.
Yeah, and so I was at the tape.
Right,
yeah.
I've never been up to that one, but I was walking with a friend of mine. This guy Andrew Farrell was awesome, and you know he posted on one of my Instagrams. He's like, I miss our late night walks because I still take them, you know. And he and I used to do it a lot. But he knew where the house was, and not to be morbid, but we were walking nearby, and he said, this is nearby, and let's go have a look. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that actually made L.A. a more human town for me, was seeing that home.
Really? Why is that?
Well, because it took something that was a cultural phenomenon and made it a local crime story.
Yeah, it's like a pop culture thing. It's a plot point on a TV show.
Right, exactly. But it brought it back down to earth, you could look at that home, and you can say that an unsuspecting couple was murdered there, and it makes it it makes it real again.
Yeah,
in a way that you can read Helter Skelter, that book, which is amazing, and talk about a great book about Los Angeles. But walking past that home, and even though they've landscaped it differently to try to have the looky-loos and all that, and we don't do looky-loo, you know, we walk past.
I'm like that too. My friend, it was like we drove by.
Right.
But
it connected me to my neighborhood, certainly, in a way that it hadn't before, because it's something I knew since I was a kid.
Right.
You know, and then it becomes real, you know, and in the Vince Bugliosi book, Helter Skelter, in describing the crime, he's describing the things that are happening in the area. You know, you walk down Curry Street. I'm like, geez, these are streets that I walk down all the time.
Yeah.
You know? And the son, when he couldn't get in, he went to the hamburger stand on Hyperion and Rowena to use the phone. That's a Mexican stand now. So it's interesting to see it all there. And again, I'm a history guy. I can't help it.
I'm fascinated by the stuff. Now, I want to go dive back into some of that stuff.
Well, that's part of what you know, when Ken and I were talking to, you know, to include some of these things in this show down the line.
Yeah. We're going to talk some history here. Yeah. This show, guys, if you're listening, thanks for tuning in so far here. This is Life with Ken and Owen is going to go everywhere. We just feel we like hanging out. We like talking. Mm-hmm. We're going to take this show anywhere. We might even, like I said, we might not even always be in studio there. We're just talking. And you love the history of LA. I love, you ever go to like a bookstore or you ever own one of those like Now and Then books?
Yes.
I could sit and stare at them for hours.
I love those. Yep.
The old manager of the farmer's market, he retired a few years ago, this guy named Sharif Barsoom. He was an Egyptian, but he's also like Greek Orthodox kind of mix.
Coptic Christian.
Yeah. And great guy. And he had been there. There's pictures of him and the market manager with like presidents walking through, and the farmers market, 3rd and Fairfax, is, you know, James Dean's last breakfast. So it's just the Adobe there is the oldest Adobe in Los Angeles.
Oh, is that right?
So 1836, cool. I believe. So much history, but yeah, he had all these books on the shelf, and I would go into his office some days and there was one day I was working at Christmas and he was off and he'd let me go in his office and I just pulled one of those Now and Then books down and it just poured over.
And you're right in there.
Yeah.
No, it's exciting.
It's still baffles my mind. History just keeps paving over it, literally and figuratively.
Right, and LA has a way of doing that. You know, every city has a way of doing that. But you know, it's interesting. The neighborhood in which I live, it feels like an older part of LA in a lot of ways.
It is. Yeah, I know. It definitely. I mean, it is, and it feels like it.
Right, and it's kind of cool to be able to see some of the layers.
Yeah.
You know, and have them still be sort of right there at the surface.
See some of that the dust that pops up.
Right.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff, man. It is even like my hometown, you know, your personal histories. Mm-hmm. Hell, I'll even go through like the mall I used to work at. I worked there for most of 17 years, right? Think about it. Outside of 3.5 years when I was at the farmer's market, it's like every corner. It's like, here's where I fought that guy. Here's where I met that girl. Here's where I did that. Here's where that.
And it's also baked in.
Yeah. It's so, and you smell like you could blindfold me and take me into the corridors and I would pick the corridor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's great. And so I love that. That's personal history. Then I love bigger history. And I love national history, world history.
Yep.
Well, I mean, man, I haven't had a chance to go. If I'm feeling this way in a mall in the San Fernando Valley, imagine if I finally get over to like Italy or, you know, stop by Rome.
Right. Well, right. And that's the thing, too. It's like, you know, I grew up in New York City. And thinking, hey, New York is old as far as the U.S. goes.
Yeah.
And like first time I went to Rome, and, you know, all of a sudden I'm walking down the street. And you smash into the Forum, you know, or the Colosseum, and it's like, that's old.
Yeah.
That's ancient. You know, that's Europe. That's European old.
Yeah,
you know?
I got to feel that stuff. I got to get out there more and travel.
Absolutely. Oh, gosh, I know. I'm feel lazy. Like we've been, you know what? And the thing is, be careful, because once, you know, you start doing it, you won't stop.
Yeah, I drove cross country twice.
I've never done that.
Highly recommend.
I need to do that.
Highly recommended. I you know, if I didn't have a girlfriend and you didn't have a wife and a kid, I would say, let's go tomorrow.
We can be back by 5.
We'll be all right. It was because I went for a purpose. I was taking my girlfriend at the time into Tennessee.
Okay.
So we were hitting that I-40, and, you know, you had to kind of 12 hours a day driving type of thing.
Right.
I had to do it twice. And one of my goals was to do it again, but slow.
Right.
And take the time.
Well, that's
it's something different because you don't think about it.
You,
like you're saying, the world. Yeah, I know you. I study U.S. history, man. I've watched all the Ken Burns docs. Sure. I get it. But then when you're actually out there and you feel the different parts of the country, how it looks, how the sand and the soil in Oklahoma is more red, and going through Arkansas, just seeing how beautiful and green part. It's like you just don't feel that until you're there.
You know what I think is a great indicator of where a place is in terms of you know what they're doing, what's going on, is how what kind of breakfast sandwich they make.
Oh, and, you're speaking my language.
And like, you know, my big thing in most of my life is, you know, I'll take a sausage, egg, and cheese and a roll. Kaiser roll.
Perfect.
It's nice, you know, got some poppies on it. I ordered one of those when I first moved out here. There was lettuce, tomato, and mayonnaise on it. And I started to cry. And I didn't know what was happening. You know?
Too much.
Localisms. Too much. Localisms. Localisms. It's all about localisms.
Mm-hmm.
But, breakfast sandwich is key. So.
Breakfast. It's funny. I don't eat breakfast as much. I'm trying to now. And I have.
Most important meal of the day.
Right. And that's what they say.
And they, by the way, is Hollywood's Van Patten family. Just in case you know.
Yeah.
In case you're wondering.
Yeah. So, I am. I love breakfast foods. My favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird. I was at breakfast for lunch and breakfast for dinner kid.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, we do that at the house big time. You know, we'll have movie night. We'll have, pancakes for dinner and that kind of stuff.
And I bet your kid loves it.
He loves it. He loves it. Actually, last week he had pizza for breakfast. And
Because you feel like you're getting away with something.
Well, right. Yeah. But the thing is, he's carbo loading, you know, for the day ahead.
The day.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's when you want to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love a good breakfast. I love a good breakfast. I love some scrambled eggs, some sausage,
Oh, gosh,
some ham. Make myself hungry.
I'm eating more oatmeal and blueberries these days.
So am I.
But it's good, though.
It's a good thing.
You know why? Because I don't want to die of a massive stroke. So, you know, not yet.
Not yet, at least.
Exactly.
No, it's fine. You're walking 8 miles. You're doing all right.
Oh, yeah. It's it definitely could be a lot worse.
Have you ever bailed on a walk? If you got like 4 miles in, you're like, screw it. I'm calling a car. I'm getting home.
I have to admit something that I'm not terribly proud of. We were back in New York over Christmas and into New Year. And every January 2nd, we go on the Brooklyn Walk. And the Brooklyn Walk is where me and a handful of stalwart men and women, whoever decides to go, meet at Farrell's Bar, which is a Brooklyn, and I would say American, and I would say Earth Institution in Windsor Terrace. And we start there mid-morning, and we have a couple of Farrellizers. And Farrellizers are at Budweiser, poured into a gigantic styrofoam cup after having been pushed through the cleanest glass pipes that you will ever have a beer out of. So we start there. And the idea is to generally walk back to Manhattan.
Okay.
And depending on where we stop and how long the day is and how many bars we hit or restaurants, it can be a long day.
That's a full day.
January 2nd, 2018, we did it, and it was 10 degrees. But we did it. And but we ended up tucking into this place called Montero's in Brooklyn Heights on Hicks and Atlantic Avenue, a couple blocks from New York Harbor.
Oh, wow.
And that turned into, you know, a nice session. And we bailed on the walk across the Brooklyn Bridge. Oh. I'm not happy to say it. I'm quite ashamed.
First time in how many straight years or how many years overall have you done this?
We've been doing it for, I've been doing it. I started doing it with a buddy of mine, this guy, Matthew McAllister, who was a correspondent. And he and I first did it back in 98, maybe.
Okay.
And we walked from Coney Island to Lower Manhattan. It was about 12 miles.
Wow.
And and the Farrell's one is much shorter, but you stretch it out and you hit bars. And,
turn around.
And the majority of this route goes through Revolutionary War battle territory.
In there?
In Brooklyn, yeah. And
I mean, that totally makes sense. And I'm a Revolutionary War guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Boston first. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Sure. But this was, you know, when Washington and his armies had to retreat, you know, like we make a point of walking that retreat route.
Really?
So you can talk about it, you know, and have some fun with it.
I love
it. You know, and it's great. Next year.
Next year?
You should come.
I'm very intrigued in this.
And we should roll on it.
Absolutely. We should record as we go.
We should. So this year, though, we crapped out.
You crapped out?
Yeah, just because it was, you know, people were
too cold.
Getting itchy, and I wasn't too cold. I was like, you know, I was ready to go for it. But I was being a responsible host.
There is something when you're walking in New York. Am I wrong that I've been there twice now and walk, you know, extreme distances and then kind of stop and then realize, how did I get this far?
Right.
Like, this is enormous. And I'm a walker.
Yeah.
And I don't feel any pain or anything. And then all of a sudden you stop and you look up. You're like, I'll bring up Google Maps or something and be like, all right, because I'm still not 100%.
Sure,
sometimes
sure.
I get turned around east, west, north, south. It's a little different there, you know, when you're kind of got the skyscrapers. And I'm like, wow. I'm like far.
Yeah.
Is that just a thing that happens?
It is a thing that happens. And especially if you're depending on what you're doing, you know, if you got the headphones on or if you're just sort of, you know, soaking in what's around you. And there's a rule of thumb when you're walking in New York, if you're walking north-south, that 20 of those north-south blocks equals 1 mile.
20 of those north. Okay.
Right.
Got it.
And those are called the long blocks.
Because they're the long blocks.
Right.
Yeah. And I know that now.
Right.
Second trip, someone explained that
right.
to me.
Right. And, but it can just get away from you.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, what a nice thing.
It is. And it's fun. Because I would go, because I've only been there for work.
Right.
And first time was like a New York Comic Con, and then New York Comic Con. And then the second time was just walking back before, you know, the corporate headquarters of the company I was working for the time. And I would go still out at night and with a buddy, you know, and then a couple times in the morning alone. Just walk.
Just go.
Not intentionally like I'm going to walk that far. Just to get in your head.
Once you get started. And the thing is, and I'm a firm believer in the fact that the people with whom you walk, even if you don't know them, the people around you get some energy off that.
Yeah.
And you sort of go.
Absolutely.
You know? That's something that's kind of crappy about L.A. walking is that, like, it's usually just me.
you know?
Which is fine and good, but, you know, occasionally you want to see a crowd sometimes.
You want to see a crowd. You know who's a good walker?
Who?
Mark Ellis.
Is he?
He loves a good walk, you know, and he's a fast walker.
Well, that's important.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah. Even though I walk far, I got to go fast.
Right. I didn't know that about Mark. I got to drag him out for a walk.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do a walk.
We should do a walk.
You want to do a walk? You want to do a walk right now?
Let's do a walk right now.
There's a bar up the street.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
We're going to do that, guys.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you guys. We'll hear you guys like in mere seconds.
I'm going to do a transition.
All right, guys. We are actually walking in L.A.,
and we haven't been stopped by police yet.
No one thinks it's weird. Two dudes just rolling along with Zooms recording.
Yeah. It's and you've got to see. I've got like one of those big, you know, furry kitty cat things on top of my recorder right now.
It doesn't look abnormal at all.
No.
There's a bar I want to go up here and try. Have you ever just randomly walked into bars?
I have. Not in this neighborhood so much.
Not in beautiful Burbank?
No. Although I did find a buddy of mine. As a sponsorship membership at a VFW post down Magnolia, closer to Victory, and
I
just sponsored there too now, so we can actually go there. They've got a dartboard, a real, actual dartboard.
I love that.
And it's surprising.
Yeah.
I would expect it to be thick with veterans because, you know, we've been at war for so long, young guys, And they said that not as many go because it seems it's not a stigma, but it's something that their grandparents did. You know,
they'll go to the regular bar. Want to do it?
I love a place like that, though.
My uncle has one there. Oh, so look at that. We almost got hit by a car while we were walking. That really almost happened.
That was some classic LA driving right there.
Yeah, that was a classic LA screw this traffic U-turn. Right. Almost wish that was on video. Do you know, upon walking into a place immediately, that you feel like, I belong here?
Yes.
Yeah?
That's kind of the feeling I got of that VFW. It was like it had everything. It had a normal place.
It all had like John Goodman characters.
Pretty much. Yep.
Pretty much there.
Had a real dartboard. That was a big deal.
Yeah, look for. I want to go to this place up here.
Yeah. So what is this place?
It's called the Hollywood Way.
Okay.
It's a bar and grill on Hollywood Way. I love the name. But I passed it the other night. I'm like, I looked inside and it seemed warm and inviting.
I like that.
Right.
Warm and inviting is good. Place to tuck into. It's February as Ken and I talk to you right now, and which is winter to most people. It's really comfortable right now, of course. So you have to pretend that's the Hollywood way is pretending.
Yeah, Hollywood.
So we're gonna go into a place and we're gonna tuck in. We're gonna get warm, but it's really perfectly fine.
It's like 70 degrees right now.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah, that's good.
We'll check this out.
See, you got a good pace. This is how you do it.
Yeah, no, this is it. I'm sort of, I'm walking it, you know, at three quarters.
Not full New York
pace. Not full New York, no. And not getting chased yet, you know. But tonight's young.
Yeah, absolutely. Always young.
How long have you been in this hood? Talk about this for a while.
How long have I been in the valley? Or?
Well, no, you've been in this particular section.
I've been in Burbank about a year.
Okay.
And, you know, you talked about earlier this stigma with the San Fernando Valley. And again, this is a very localized episode, I guess, but that's fine. I think people want to know about the truth of Los Angeles.
If it's life, this is part of your life.
There is a divide, and I'm sure where other people live, there's probably divides. You know those type of people that live over there?
Mm-hmm.
Looking down on us.
Right.
And I think a lot of over the hill for me means kind of where you live, but I like the neighborhood. I like it over there. I just want to go back home where I have a place to park.
I remember listening to one of the Knapsack File episodes, and you were talking about moving into your new neighborhood and finding your place, finding your things, you know, and that's a big deal.
That's one of my favorite things. Is I'm a creature of habit, but I kind of love forming new habits.
Right.
And getting, you know, where your dry cleaner is a key part of life.
That's very true.
It's a key part of adult life.
Exactly. That in the nearest critical care center.
Right. So, yeah. Yeah, that's what you do. I love. And you know what? And it's funny. You don't figure that out much until maybe you walk the neighborhood.
Exactly.
And I think I was talking, so I don't want to repeat myself, but I think, like, I went for a walk one morning and found, like, a good breakfast spot.
If you find a good breakfast spot, that does a lot of the heavy lifting to making one feel comfortable in their neighborhood. Have you tried this place?
I have.
We're
looking at a Chinese restaurant. I have. My dad came down to visit. He's like, I want an actual sit-down Chinese restaurant. I said, I got the place. Let's give it a go. And it was good.
I had
to race home, though.
Nice. Well, keeping
luckily it was close, but we were walking.
Right.
My dad and I were walking. That's one of the downsides.
There you go. Hey, there it is. There's Hollywood.
Yeah, that's the place. We're going to get across the street. Exactly. I figure we'll give the folks, like, the taste of crossing a major Los Angeles intersection.
And hopefully I won't lead local news with, and you'll hear the final moments of their lives. Or when they got $135 ticket.
That'll be the time.
I like this place already.
Right? So that's what I'm saying. If you drive by someplace, you feel like you want to give it a go. You want to belong.
Right.
You know? I don't know. Maybe we're completely wrong. Maybe we'll leave here and we'll have to record another episode where we got kicked out of this bar.
Right. Where we talk about things like how being in your local neighborhood isn't a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh, hear that? That's some high tension wire action right there.
And that might be why I'm having problems in my apartment with some sound gears there.
Yeah.
Could be it.
Yeah, Wichita lineman to straighten this out.
Wichita County lineman. We're passing anyone who from Schmo's Movie Trivia Schmodown fandoms. We're passing a place called Dino's Pizza. And that's where we order all the pizza.
Oh, is that right?
For Schmodown.
I took my boy here when he was three, and we come here occasionally. We actually sat in a little inside thing.
It's I've never been inside, but the pizza's good. But anyone's listening, that's right where we are. If you've watched those Harloff carpools. All right, so we're going to cross over. You get impatient at lights?
But I learned my lesson the hard way before I moved here. Jackie was staying with friends of ours. We were going back and forth for a few months as I was transitioning out here.
Right.
And we were in North Hollywood, and I was coming out of a pharmacy, and I was leading three steps off the curb, as you do in New York. You're kind of leading three steps. And LAPD flashed their lights. They told me to get up against the wall.
Against the wall?
Hands where I can see them, you know. And I was like, oh, okay.
Whoa.
And I got a tongue lashing, and if that wasn't enough, $135 ticket.
$135 for standing in the street? Yep.
So now when I go home, like, I feel like Terry Waits. I feel like, you know, I've been in captivity for years. Like, it's compliance has been beaten into me. Like, even when I'm back in New York where you can jaywalk with abandon, I don't do it much anymore.
So. Right.
Thanks a lot, L.A., for breaking me down.
Well, you know, no one walks in L.A.
Morning special here at the old car wash?
Yeah, I come here and get the car wash sometimes.
Good, good. You can get Simonized.
So, yeah.
I think.
Look at that. I know, I hope anyone on there at Knapsack Files is just appreciating us on a morning walk. I hope you're taking us with you on your walk.
I really hope that we're walking with you at some point.
Because we're just, I know we're talking about things you can't see, but maybe there are things you can feel.
And theater that's of the mind. Theater of the mind.
But that's what the theme for the episode ended up being. See, we didn't have a plan, Owen.
No.
But the theme was walking in L.A.
Right.
That's what we do.
It just happens. I think there are a bunch of cones in front of this place.
I know. If you weren't here, I wouldn't go in. I'd be like, they don't want me in here. There's cones around this place. But you're here. It's the beginning of this
now,
is life.
Now, here's the question.
Yeah.
Do we walk in rolling?
It's up to you. I'll follow your lead, man. We can get a table. Or we can just...
Well, let's see what happens. We'll talk to you guys in a minute.
We'll talk to you guys in a minute.
So, yeah, we made it inside.
You're pretty comfortable.
Yeah. Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Perfect.
Can I get you started with something to drink?
Sure. I'll have just an IPA of your choice, please.
Okay.
Can I get a Captain and Diet?
Yeah.
Thank you. I get ridiculed for ordering Captains and Diet.
Well, for which part? The Captain or the Diet?
Both.
Yeah? Okay.
It was the first drink I ever really took part in.
Okay. It was your...
I was 26 for an alcohol.
That's, you know, that's a good thing.
It's a good thing. No, I recommend people go that route.
But, right.
And rum coke is the first thing I could take.
Right.
You know, and you don't jump to whiskey.
No.
Yeah.
The first thing I got drunk off of, April 27, 1985... I remember the date because it was a school dance at Xavier High School in Chelsea in sophomore year. My parents were away. Sorry, Dad. We lied to you. We had a party.
You're admitting now.
Yeah, no. By the time the party was over, it was like Jonestown. There were just people all over the floor, you know, holding hands. And, my inaugural was on Southern Comfort. And not surprisingly, I've not been able to have
can't take it. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm finding your whiskey. I love my whiskey, but it's starting to go, man. It's starting to affect me in ways I can't deal with.
Well, if I, you know, like beer, which is mostly what I drink, the hangover straight up lasts for a day. And that's, some might call that, what is the word? A sign.
A sign that maybe you shouldn't.
Right.
Yeah. But, I think you're all right.
Yeah, I think you're all right, Ken.
Yeah, I think you're all right, too.
So here we are. We're in this. So this is kind of got a roadhouse-y feel. It's a barbecue joint right near Ken's house, which is pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
And you've got the menu in hand.
I'm going to order some dinner.
You're about to rock something out of this.
You already ate dinner like a responsible adult.
Yeah, right? I ate a healthy din-din. It was quite delicious.
Yeah, do you need appetizers? Are you an appetizer guy?
Yeah, I'll grab a little bite to eat there. You know, I'll have a little room.
Yeah, there you go. You know? Let me know. I know what I'm going to get.
What are you getting?
A little quesadilla, smokehouse quesadilla.
Nice.
Sounds good.
I'm good for now. I think I'll just enjoy the beer.
Right? Enjoy the beer?
Yeah.
Or take my quesadillas.
Or yeah, maybe I'll take a little poke around a quesadilla. So folks, I think what Ken and I are kind of going for with this is we're gonna be in the studio, we're gonna be in the field, and we're gonna hopefully have stuff that's that you find interesting, you know, as we do as we're going around this town and talking about life and the things that happen.
That's why this is called This Is Life.
Yes.
On the Knapsack Files podcast feed.
Exactly.
All right, we're back in studio, and we walked around Burbank like champions.
We did, and I think dinner worked out.
It did work out.
New place?
New place.
Yeah.
New place. I don't know if I felt like I belonged yet.
You didn't get stabbed. That was
I didn't get stabbed. So. You and I had some great talks over drinks.
We did. And which is why we're going to sign this off quickly.
Absolutely. And guys, no one walks in LA except for we do here.
We do, and it was a great walk.
So, and hey, listen, whoever's listening, have a good ride to work tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Owen, thank you so much for coming into the show. This is your show and mine, but it's here in the Knapsack Files right now. Who knows? Sky's the limit. We're going to go different places with this show. I hope you guys out there are along for the journey. And, you know, follow Owen on Twitter and Instagram at Owen Mugen.
Oh, be brave enough to join my 70 followers.
70 followers. That is Owen Common spelling and then M-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-M-O-O-G-A-N. Owen Mugen. And yeah, follow him on Instagram because then you can see pictures. You might even see pictures from tonight's adventure.
Yep.
You don't know. That's the reason. You guys, you can follow me on Twitter at Ken Knapsack and on Twitch. That's new. The Knapsack Files podcast feed is available in a lot of different places and you can support on Patreon. Don't forget to check out audibletrial.com/the Knapsack Files if you want a free audiobook download and 30-day trial for Audible there. That is it for now. This is life. Where will it take us?